Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to this special Independence Day celebration broadcast of Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons, and we're happy that you've joined us tonight. Now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, very fine, Jim, and it's a very exciting time, this being a special broadcast, not simply because of 4th of July coming, but also because we're celebrating having a very special guest with us tonight. So we're very excited by that, and our listeners will have that benefit very shortly. But, Jim, as always, we begin our program, what we refer to as the right way, by opening us in prayer. And so if you'd be so kind as to do that at this time, certainly appreciate it.
Sure will. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to give our thanks to you for blessing our nation with freedom and a great host of patriots and their families. We praise you for being our refuge in time of need, comfort in the darkest hours, and patience when we as a nation stumble and are not faithful to your word. I ask that you guide us as we willingly humble ourselves, pray, and seek your perfect will. Bless this time that we have tonight, and thank you for bringing our special guest to join us as we celebrate our national independence. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and our minds. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as we begin this evening, Dr. Lyons, I believe we have our special guest patiently waiting to join us.
Well, that is certainly true, and rather than wait any longer, why don't you take a moment and introduce him to our audience?
I'd be so happy tonight to do that. We are blessed to have as our special musical guest David Earl Lawson, an American soldier, a talented singer, and God's servant. He recently released a CD titled Downrange. So, without further delay, let's welcome David Earl Lawson to Ask the Pastor. David?
Thank you, sir, for that. And God bless you. And it's my pleasure, and I'm humbled for the opportunity to be a part of this. So thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great, and I think, David, as people hear your accent, they can tell you're probably from the Boston area or maybe a little further south. I want to thank you. I thought you'd get that. Very good. I want to thank you for joining us for this, as we said before, a national celebration where we can give thanks to this great country. In addition to letting our audience know more about you, we'd like also to introduce them to some of your music. So, David, tonight we're going to play several of your songs, and Jim and I are going to simply take turns asking you some questions and let both us and the audience get a chance to know you better. So let me start by asking you probably the most important question we could ask. Would you share with our listeners how you came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir. You know, from the first time that that you and I spoke, I started going through my mind about some of the things that you may ask, and some things you want to try to prepare for, and some things you need to just come off the hip, but I would love to, and my story is like everybody else's. It's very unique. Now, I was raised in church, and when I was saved, I was about 10 or 12 years old, and that's when, standing in the pew in a traditional little country church, week after week, fighting because I was a very shy little boy. People don't believe it nowadays, but I was. And I tell people in my home church now, I say, if you'll look real hard, you can see my fingerprints in there from when I was about 10 or 12 years old.
That's
it was
great.
God, you know, that spoke to me past or beyond the pastor's invitation at the end of the service. But and I just couldn't hold back anymore. And it's like once I took that first step publicly and stepped out of that pew, it's something supernatural happened. Now, of course, I didn't know a whole lot about it other than, to be honest with you, I knew enough to know that I didn't want to go to hell. And so I was about 10 or 12 years old, and the Lord saved me. But now let me give you a part two, and there's a lot in between there. And I was like a lot of people that I know and have known 30 years. Somehow or another, there is an enemy. Satan is the prince of the air of this world, and I, like a lot of people, drifted away. And so you can call it either being a prodigal or what, but it was around 1983. That was a long time. But I was in a church service, and I was having some of the same drawing at the end of the service after going for a little while, because I had totally gotten away from church in my older teenage years and young adult years, and that's why I got a heart to want to just try to help people, not condemn people, but try to help people realize that God loves them, and you can believe a lie if you're not exposing yourself to the truth. And I often tell people, you know, and I really never was a bad person, but I believed in my heart everything that I was doing was fine. But to see, the problem was I wasn't confirming it with the Bible. And so getting back in church, and it was in around 1993 that sitting in the pew, the Lord spoke to me that day, and you know, an inner voice. But I was in my 20s. I was in my late 20s, and the Lord basically spoke to me and said, "David, you know, I've had my hand on you all these years." And of course, nobody around me could hear this, it was as loud as mine and your voice now. But it was personal, because it said my name. He said, "David, I've had my hand on you all these years," and you know, and things started coming to my remembrance. And he said, "I've called to you, I've drawn you, and you knew it. So, but today's the day, David. If you really just don't want me, I'll leave you alone if that's what you want." Now, that's just what I heard, and that scared me to death. And
I said, oh my God,
you know, I said, and it just so happened, it seems like about then is when the invitation was given. You know, it's like the pastor's voice just faded out. And, buddy, I ran out of that. I think I ran to the altar, and I ran straight past the preacher and fell down and just opened up and wept and talked to the Lord. And I don't know if that was like a coming home or an upper room experience. And you know, but that's the day as a mature adult that I sold out to Jesus Christ. And I've asked him since then, you know, it's been a long time, but I used to ask him, "Lord, was I saved and backslid, or was this the first time?" And the answer that he gave me was, "Where are you now, David?" So it...
Wow.
Oh, that's great. Jim, why don't you jump in there, because I think what you've got to share is probably going to fit right along with that.
Well, you know, I wonder if you're like me. I remember that same thing, a little place called Freeway Manor Baptist Church. And as a matter of fact, I looked in the paper. There was one of the guys, one of the men that I went to school with, his sons, and he died. And I was just real pleased to see that he's I forget how many year member of Freeway Manor Baptist Church. So that little church, and I had a neighbor invite my two brothers and I. She had two girls and lived down the street from us, and just was so kind and came up and said, "Y'all want to go to church with us?" Well, we'd never been to church. And I can remember the day I got saved, my knees were knocking. I was so scared.
And it takes so much courage, don't you think, to go forward and have all eyes on you, and you're under so much conviction, and you're under so much, you feel like your emotions are just going crazy, and how great it feels. And did you cry any, David?
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
A little bit.
Did I cry? Yes, but it's like, you know, it's just like there's a weight on you, and you don't know it until you open up. And that's what God, that's all God wants, is just for us to love him back and have a relationship. But, oh, yes, sir, I cried like a baby. And I would like to think that I'm a man's man, you know what I mean? And I'm that kind of guy. And but I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing wrong with weeping over the sin in your life that you want forgiveness for, and then the joy and the feeling, that supernatural feeling that comes that only God can do. And, you know, I got so many friends, and just like we all do, that are walking around with this load on them, and you wish so bad you could just get them to, we can only do so much, but it's got,
right,
and there's
right.
certain things that's reserved just for God, and a person has to want
to. Yeah, and you know, I remember, I think, Pastor Lyons, you helped us understand on one of the series that we did that, you know, our responsibility is to be the example and to, you know, suggest, and like this sweet lady down the street, invite people to come to church. But it's really, Pastor, isn't it, the Holy Spirit's responsibility to take it from there. It's not our
really
job to do it alone.
And that's what's so nice with one of the songs that David has. And, Jim, if you'd be good enough to start, there's a song he has called It Doesn't Matter Where You've Been. And I think that really says a lot. Jim, would you start that for us?
Sure.
It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've lost. It don't matter how you've seen. It don't matter what it's cost. It don't matter anymore. That old life you lived in sin, you're still loved by the Lord. It don't matter where you've been. I've been down the road that's full of pain for the soul, and I've hung my head in shame when sin left me holding the blame. When I found grace at Calvary, my blinded eyes began to see. You don't have to live in sin. It don't matter where you've been. Have you given up on? Have you fell and lost your way? Now is it life you just can't cope? God has a plan for you today. You can leave it all behind. Then your new life you will find. You can walk away from sin. It don't matter where you've been. You see, I've been down the road that's full of pain for the soul, and I've hung my head in shame when sin left me holding. When cross at Calvary. My blinded eyes began to see. You can walk away from sin. It don't matter where you've been. Your broken life, He still can mend. It don't matter where you've been.
You know, David, I think that's a great message. I think people need to know that. It doesn't matter where you've been. It's where you are and where you're going and where God's leading.
Amen. Amen.
I love that. Well, David, I understand at one time you got very active in the rodeo. Would you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I joined the Army, and I'm glad you brought that up because I was hoping you would, and I don't know how much, you know, we can get into because I love talking about my experiences with the Lord and whatnot. But I joined the Army active duty in 1983 and was stationed overseas. Now, my mom and daddy and I, you know, I live here in South Carolina, and rodeo is all over, but it's bigger in some places of the country than it is others, and it's not that big of an event right here. But you know, I was just one of them little boys that always wore a cowboy hat when I was going down the road on my bicycle. It was just in me, and it's something I always liked, them John Wayne movies and all that. You know, I just had it in my DNA. But while I was stationed overseas, me and my buddy, he was always interested in it, and we hooked up with a circuit that was in Germany, a European Rodeo Cowboy Association, and it was an opportunity for me to fulfill another one of my just childhood desires and dreams. And so I did. I rode some bareback broncs and bulls. That's what I primarily just jumped into, you know. Young man, you know, you just feel like you can do anything. But the biggest thing about that, and that might be why you brought it up, but it was probably some of the most fun I ever had in my life, living a dream. But like I say, that was during a time in my life when I had really gotten away from the Lord and the Bible and church, and was just basically doing what I thought was right. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of it wasn't really bad or anything, but I didn't have that relationship with God. But I'm going to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I had enough sense that no matter how far away and worldly I was living, there's something about you go and stand at the chutes at a rodeo and you see how big those bulls are.
Oh boy!
I never would. Every time before I would ride, I always would kneel down behind the chutes and just pray a simple prayer. It was always kind of generic, but from the heart and real short. And it was just basically just, Lord, I'm not asking you to give me any kind of supernatural favor to necessarily win this event or anything. But Lord, I would ask you, you know, if you'll protect me.
Yes.
And that was it. There was no repentance or anything else, or that was just it. And
wow.
1985, I think it was in 85, and I drew a bull called, his name was Moby Dick, and for people that's familiar with it, you know, you want an animal that's tough and going to buck hard because they get score half the points. But during that ride, I took my eyes off the hump and glanced at the ground because he was a money bull. He was tough, and I was already two-thirds of the way off of his back, and it's like time stopped for me, and it's just like time stopped right in the middle of that ride, and it was just like a click, and we would move a little bit, but my mind was just as was at the speed that we are right now, but everything was just stopped, And I could already see his left eye, and I was leaning into it, and that big horn, it was fixing to hook me in the face. And then I was able to look back at my hand, and my hand and my glove, there was the tips of three of my fingers was still in the rope. My little finger had already come out of the loop, and my thumb, my hand was open. And I felt, it was just me and him in the arena, but I felt a hand that feels just like if you put your hand on your left rear. I felt the hand, and it was pushing me, lifting me back up on the center of that.
Wow.
And at the same time, I was looking at my riding hand, my right hand, and I could see the tips of my three fingers that was still in the rope, and my hand was open, because that's really the only way to get off of a bull is just open your hand and hope it'll pull you out, unless you're talented enough to pull the rope off. But I didn't do it, but I could feel another hand, and I could just feel the one in the back on my rock lifting me up. But I could feel another hand while I was looking at my right hand. It squeezed, a hand squeezed my fist back. I didn't have any effort in it. And with the tips of those three fingers, a hand squeezed it and lifted me back up and put me back on the center of that bull's back. And right about then, it's just like I was right back in the normal time, and I could hear a buzzer blowing. And I took first place on that bull ride.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was no denying. I knew what had happened. And I'll never forget it, And
I guess not.
Earlier when I was telling you that the Lord spoke to me and said, David, all these years I've protected you. And that's one of the memories that flashed back in my mind. And so I'll never forget it,
Well, that's just
wow.
Marvelous. David, thank you so much for that. I'd like to let our listeners hear another one of your songs. It's entitled, I Found the Lily in My Valley.
Amen.
All alone and brokenhearted, trying to calm the raging battle in my mind. In search of many answers that my troubled soul just couldn't seem to find. I saw a flower blooming where there was no rain or sunshine. And I knew not that this flower would change the rest of my life. I found the lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burdens. I found refuge from the storm. A place where I traded dark skies to beaming rays of sunshine. I found the lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. So if you're down and broken hearted and you just can't seem to find a peace of mind, you're searching for your answers, but your problems are getting worse all the time. Just reach your hand to Jesus. He'll pick you up and break the ties that bind. And he'll be the lily in your valley, and you can watch him bloom all the time. He'll be the lily in your valley. He'll be strength when you're worn. He'll be a place to leave your burden. He'll give you refuge from the storm. A place where you trade your dark sky to beaming rays of sunshine. He'll be the lily in your valley, and he'll bloom all the time. Well, I found the lily in my valley. I found strength when I was worn. I found a place to leave my burden. He gave me refuge from the storm. A place where I traded dark sky to beaming rays of sunshine. I found the lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. Jesus is the lily in my valley, and he blooms all the time. All the time.
David, I thank you for such a powerful and wonderful song. I think that should be a comfort to people. The Christian walk has a lot of challenges, and sometimes people think if they watch some programming, they think, oh, well, we're supposed to be laughing and smiling all the time. But there are times when we just need to feel his presence, and I think that's certainly true once you found that lily in the valley. What a difference it makes.
Amen.
You know, another great difference is finding the right people in your life. And, David, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to share with us a little bit about your family.
I have three children and a wife, beautiful wife. My oldest daughter is 21, and I'm a papa. I got a two-year-old grandson. And
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And my middle one is Gabriel, so he's my boy, and then my little girl is Anna. She's 14, and Cheryl Ann is my beautiful wife, and it's I am a very blessed man. I've had a lot of heartaches, like everybody else, you know, but I'm so blessed to have the support of my family, and really, you know, especially my wife. And And I think because having and trying to live a Christian life is the key. My wife is an old-fashioned girl like me. She's an old country girl, too. And she don't mind you saying it, and because she was raised milking cows, and she had three brothers. And she milked cows up until she was a senior in high school. And we didn't meet until 2007. It was after I came back from my first deployment in Iraq in 2004. But we met, and come to find out, we grew up about 5 miles from each other, but we've never met each other. And I was previously married, and that marriage failed. That was the darkest period in my life. You know.
Yeah,
and for people that's never been there, I mean, it's like anything else. They just don't know. But
oh, it hurts.
But God, God can heal, you know, and life goes on, but it takes some time. But I don't know how a person can do it without having a relationship with God. But, you know, I prayed, and this was going on in around 2003, 2004, and I kept a journal. I think it was might have been therapy for me. But and I flipped back through it a time or two, and I remember I recorded some prayers, and it's very raw and honest journal, and about events that just happened throughout the days. Not every day writing it, but and I can remember praying. Right. And I said, God, I just don't think I want to be married. I like being married, but I just don't think I'll ever find a woman that will. Here I am in my 40s, that's going to want to get married to a man with three small kids. And long story short. Like I say, Cheryl had never been married at 45 years old, and I thought there was something wrong with her because she was too beautiful not to have ever been married.
Right.
And come to find out, that was part of her personal prayers was sort of, you know, I can't say it word for word, but kind of like, you know, my biological clock, obviously, I've missed a window. But if you do, Lord, have a man out there for me, I hope that there's going to be kids involved in it because she always wanted kids. And so, and there's a lot more to it, but I love my wife and she loves me, and we very blessed.
That's
wonderful. Jim, why don't you pick up the pace for us a little bit?
All right. Let's listen to this next one. I've got a feeling.
Amen.
Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Hey, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Be all right. Be all right. It's gonna be all right. God sent Moses down. But Pharaoh's heart was hard, he thought he'd give him a route. So he chased him on down to the Red Sea shore. He thought it wouldn't work without old Moses anymore. But Moses stretched his rod out over the sea. My God answered Moses with a little gentle breeze. I can see Moses now with a smile on his face, telling God's people with his gentle grace. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Everybody laughed at a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Besides, Goliath seemed like a puny little thing. But David said, you come with a spear and a sword. Look out, here I come in the name of the Lord. He loaded up his sling and gave it a fling. And when it left his hands, David, he began to sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Hey, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Be alright, be alright, it's gonna be alright. Now for the greatest story of them all. Jesus was dying and hell had a ball. The demons were rejoicing, they thought they'd won the war. But soon they would not be rejoicing anymore. Cause on that Easter Sunday morning, as the sun woke up the earth, and the caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to a resurrected Savior with healing in his wings, all of God's children ought to shout and sing. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright.
Everything's gonna be alright. David, this is, of course, a broadcast where we're celebrating our national independence. In addition, one very special way we can do that is by honoring those who serve our country. I understand you have 20 years of service in the Army. Would you share with us a little about your time in the military?
Yes, sir. I still am actively serving. Like I say, I joined in 1993, and it's kind of ironic. I did a hitch in active duty. I got out, and I did a year in the Army Reserve, and I had a break in service, and I did like a year in the Army National Guard, and then I had like about a 12-year break in service. And a lot happened in that 12 years. I always liked wearing a uniform. I was always that's another one of my childhood dreams. You know, I never will forget. My brother told me when I was getting ready to go over in 2004, in the early part of that war, and my brother said, you know, he said, I've told some people I don't have to worry about David. He's been practicing for this whole life, because again, you know, as a little boy, you know, if I wasn't playing a cowboy, I was a soldier. And so after a 12-year break in service, and I went back into the Guard, and then a couple of years after that, I entered into what's called the AGR program, which is a active duty guard. So you know, it's sort of like you can run away from what God wants you to do, but you look back, and I finally said, you know, I think maybe this is what God wants me to do, because I just couldn't get away from it. And I like to try to tell people that, you know, if you're struggling with what you think God wants you to do, you're probably right in the middle of it. And you just need to realize that, because God wants his light to shine in every avenue of this life. And so,
yes.
But right now, again, I'm still serving. I'm working on 21 years, and I am at the point. I'm 52 years old now, so I'm an older soldier, and it's a young man's gig. But I'm at the point where I'm getting ready to hand over the baton. You know, but I'm thankful that I've been able to serve this country this amount of time, because, you know, if you look at this CD cover, you know, it's got a picture of me in 2004 and then in 2007 on the back. But if you read the writing I have on there, nothing on there indicates or talks about my being in the United States military. Mm-hmm. What I wanted the focus to be on was being in God's army. But
that's more.
Because we're so blessed is because people have served, and I'm just proud to still be a part of that. I'm very proud, very proud. It's not too late for America.
David, that's good. David, we just want to thank you for your service, certainly the sacrifice that you've given, and so many have, and we're very appreciative of that. And sort of continuing on your testimony comments, one of the songs on your CD is "That Night I Walked the Aisle." And I was wondering if just before we play it, you might share with some folks about the message of that song.
"The Night I Walked the Aisle," every one of these songs, they speak to me. They really do every time I sing them. But it's something about, you know, God is not going to play games. God does not. We can play all the games we want to, and we can talk the talk. But there comes a time when it's something about making it public, and not being ashamed that you know you need God. And I don't know why that's so hard, but it's hard for people, and I don't want to forget that. So I want to try to come across and just try to encourage people. But "The Night I Walked the Aisle" is when my life, when I started to live.
That's wonderful. Well, we hope people enjoy it as we play it now for them to really get that message. "That Night I Walked the Aisle."
Well, I wandered so aimless. Ah, my life was just full of sin. Because, you see, I never would let my dear Savior come in. Ah, but then Jesus, He came to me. Just like a stranger in the night. Amazing grace is the song they were singing. That night I saw the light. And I still recall standing there, holding on to that pew. It seemed I was the only one that old preacher was talking to. Then he opened up his Bible and read John 3:16. It was the most precious words I'd heard, the greatest love I'd ever seen. He said, God so loved me that for me He gave His only begotten Son. To die on the cross in my stead for all the wrong I've done. The door was left wide open as they held the altar call for a little while. I let go of the back of that pew that night I walked the aisle. Well, I was raised in the church house. I went to Sunday school. But I drifted away from God and made a bar stool my pew. I didn't want to be a Christian. It just was not my style. Thank God my life was changed that night I walked the aisle. God so loved me that for me He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus died on the cross in my stead for all the wrong I've done. The door was left wide open as they held the altar call for a little while. I let go of the back of that pew that night I walked. Jesus came into my heart that night I walked the aisle.
Powerful.
And I certainly hope.
Amen.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just hope that our listeners understand that that's not just something you could do or Jim or I could do, but that's something they can do.
Amen.
It's always an opportunity for them. I just want to draw their attention to the website at www.rightlions.com. That's WRITELYONS.com. Not because we're trying to send people over there to buy something or shop for something. We're sending them there because on that page, they'll scroll down a little bit, they're going to find there's a plan of salvation. Walk them through it step by step. Give them a prayer that they can pray through if they're genuinely from their heart and accept Him as Lord and Savior. And the nice thing is we've taken the time to put in there also the verses that will give them a peace to know that not only have they accepted Christ as Savior, but that it's secure. God doesn't do something halfway. So know that once you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, He is your Lord and Savior, and nobody or nothing can ever take that away or separate you from the love of God. So we're so thankful for that. And David, that was just a powerful testimony and song. You know, I think a frustration for a lot of us, maybe even especially during the patriotic holiday, so is, you know, how can we, how can our listeners, how can people who are simply grateful, you know, and appreciate what our service that our soldiers, airmen, Navy, and Marines have given to our country, but they don't always know what they can do to say thank you. Would you just take a moment and share what our listeners can best do to encourage those who are serving, and for that matter, especially their families?
Wow. I think a key point, as you hit it right there, is their families. Sometimes for a soldier, and I can't speak for everybody, but I can pretty much tell you, it is, and you hear it a lot, but their family, a soldier's family, especially when he or she deploys overseas. I mean, a lot of times, in all honesty, I think they have it worse. They have it's harder for them because there's so much that has to be done just in running your household.
Right.
Really. And you take a lot of things for granted. But then it's got to continue on while that person that's trained and nobody really wants to leave home. But I used to have people tell me all the time, you don't have to go back over there, do you? And I used to would say, well, I hope not. But I was lying. I don't know how to explain it, but you know, you don't really want to leave your family, but if your unit is called up, that's what we get paid for, and that's what we chose to do, and that's what we trained for. So there's a little bit of an excitement about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And but there's some heartaches to go with it too. But and then I finally just started getting honest with people, and when they would say that, you're not going to have to go back over there, are you? And they mean well. People mean well.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally got to where I say, well, if I'm lucky, I will, you know, kind of like that. And just to make a point, I mean, that's what we train for, and that's what I get paid for, and that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy, but, again, I want to use that as a sort of a catapult to tie in Christianity.
Right, yes.
To be a Christian and to be a follower of Jesus is not always going to be easy, but it's definitely worth it, brother.
Right. Yeah.
So
well,
as far as how to tell somebody you're thankful, you know, I'm humbled. Sometimes people, I'll pay for your meal when I go out to eat at lunch or something, and a lot of times people mm-hmm. just want to shake your hand and all, and it humbles me every time. I almost get teary-eyed because I don't feel worthy of it. But I always come back with, and I've started being more conscious myself of just thanking people in civilian clothes for what they do, because I always come back and say, you know, I'm thankful for you and what you do, because this country, it takes everybody in all occupations and all walks of lives working together, working people
mm-hmm.
to make it work.
Right.
And so just try to pay it forward, I guess, to everybody.
Right. Well, David, I think that's just a wonderful attitude. I hope it's one people will hear, too, because we want to support you, want to encourage you, especially your family. Because like you say, they carry a different kind of load people don't really understand. But by the same token, to know that you all have that same grace and love for the citizen in the country trying to keep things together, that means a lot as well. And unfortunately, our time has absolutely been flying by, but it's been such a blessing. David, I'd like you to take a moment and let our listeners know how they could go about getting a copy of your CD. Would that be all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, they can call me, and I think the easiest way is I'm trying to catch up with technology, and this whole thing is just, you know, the Bible says without vision, people perish. And I've been wanting to do this for years, and I got a website, but I don't have it built. But if a person wants to get in touch with me or wants to get a copy of the CD, the easiest thing to do is go on Facebook and just Google, just type in David Earl Lawson, and it'll pull up a little bit of information. I don't post stuff regularly, so it sort of stays the same. And it's got my home phone number, my cell phone number, email address. And if a person and I got it, and it's written on there. If you want a copy of this, I would love to send it to you. Just let me know. And it's just been a privilege to try to get the good news out there. And
well, that's certainly
this,
wonderful.
Way,
sort of thinking back on that, if I could, David, would you also let maybe some of our churches and pastors or Christian leaders that are interested in having you come to their church or their area to share your music and your testimony? How can they do that? Is that the same way, or is there anything different?
Well, that would be the easiest way. If anybody's listening, if they can remember David Earl Lawson and put that on, if they'll put it in Facebook, my contact numbers are on there, and I would love that. I was privileged to go to a church this past Sunday night and sing and talk. Well, as you can tell, my wife says I talk too much, but I can't just sit up and sing. I got to talk a little bit too.
There you go.
But I get carried away.
You're living my life. My life.
But I love to evangelize, and there's something about singing and talking to a group of people that you really don't know personally. It's a different kind of freedom, and so I love that. So if the Lord opens the doors, brother, I'll sure go.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's what I've enjoyed about this program especially. I hope it's given some of our folks an opportunity to know the person behind the song. You know, it's easy to fall in love with the tune, but when you know the walk that's behind it that has that extra measure of strength because you're following Christ and living for Christ, that just makes all the greater blessing behind it. And that's why I want you to be a part of our program tonight. And Jim, why don't you take another minute and give your closing thoughts as well.
Well, thank you so much, David. And I can relate to you so much. The way you talk just is, I love country music. I always have, and I grew up on it. And for someone to be committed to Christ Jesus and to put it in song, I think you're reaching so many people, and I'm thankful. Glad you could join us tonight. You have great voice, and the lyrics just jump off the page. They're just really, and maybe there could be a link on our Right Lions website, Pastor, that maybe
absolutely,
that way they could reach us.
Very happy to do that. And of course, we have again, David, your name is on the Blog Talk Radio site as well, so people have that information. Strongly encourage them to follow up with you. You know, sometimes folks just need to remember people in Christian service could use a pat on the back every now and then, a word of encouragement.
Amen.
To keep going. You know, you're blessing audiences, but sometimes one-on-one later in the evening, it's good to know that people appreciate and pray for you. And I would encourage our listeners to take the time not only to be blessed by your music, but also to take the time to pray for you and your family, certainly while you're serving our country,
right,
but also while you're serving Christ. I can't think of a greater service to our country than walking with Christ on a daily basis. In closing, I want to remind our listeners to join us next week as we continue in our study. We're going through the book of Revelation. We're taking it sentence by sentence, and we do that because we feel that gives the clearest understanding, and certainly don't want to simply get into opinions. We want to see what God has to say. But we're going to close it out the right way because we're going to have David one more time as he sings a song entitled An American Trilogy.
Oh, I wish I was in a land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in I was born early, Lord, one frosty morn. Look away, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Glory, glory,
thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.whitelions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.